will remain seated, and Brother Schrock of Columbus, Ohio, will lead us in seeking the Lord's blessing.
Our most kind and loving Father in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Dear Father, we thank thee for this privilege we have of gathering here in peace and quiet to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him. And dear Father, we pray that thy spirit may be with our brother Chambers as he brings to us a message from thy word, that we might be edified and strengthened and built up according to our most holy faith. And dear Father, may thy spirit be with us at all times, in every time of trial and difficulty, that we might recognize thy leadings and be guided thereby. And we would remember our brethren the world over according to their needs. Now we commit this meeting and all our interests into thy loving care and keeping, and we give thee all thanks and praise for thy bountiful provisions for us. In Jesus' dear and precious name, amen.
Last week, it was my privilege to attend and serve at the Vancouver, British Columbia Convention. There were over 125 brethren gathered there from various parts of the country. And our next speaker, Brother Charles Chambers, is from Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm going to beat him to bringing this. A lot of love was voted to be sent here to you brethren. Many of them had asked to be remembered personally, but the whole 125 plus, am I right? Yes, we're there. Brother's got some explaining to do, however. When you hear his subject, I was just wondering whether he left the right notes at home. Because I don't think, brother, any of us are that interested in the stock market. He'll have to explain it. He's going to give us the Dow Jones report.
Thank you, Brother Adam, dear brother, for your prayer. Believe me, I'm intensely happy to be with you in fellowship and communion. It's a little more warmer welcome this time than a few years ago. It was 12 below zero in January. So it is pleasant to be with you again. And of course, I must report from the 125 already done, but also to bring you the love of the Vancouver Ecclesia as we fellowshipped on Thursday evening, and they sent their love. We also have the love of the McNees, to anyone in particular that they were especially endeared to, and to the Ecclesia here as a whole and to the convention. Also my beloved wife and our dear son, who was just coincidentally married 2 weeks ago. So we had a little vacancy there in our home and heart, but still this is a way of life, isn't it? Well, the Dow Jones Report. I am sure the words ring a bell in your heart and mind, and you all recognize this to be an agency whereby the investors are informed continually as to the equitable state of their stock, how viable they are, and the dangers that are thwart on the stock market. Bonds, investments in general, all eyes are on the stock market. All eyes are on the Dow Jones Report. Of course, I'm not here on behalf of Stockbrokers of New York to inform you in particular, but as I had studied in the last few months, I seemed to feel there might be some parallels that we could compare from the stock market area. And let's hope by the Lord's grace that we may be able to make suitable comparisons that would be edifying to you. We'll change the subject, though, and we'll call it, in view of Bible student stocks, and we will call it instead the Peter Paul Report. The Peter Paul Report, that might be more appreciated by you. Now, the stock market has become a very important part of our society. It's like a mountain peak, and the nations are perched on the top of it. The death of one man, the death and health of a president, or some world ruler, or some nation itself, will cause the value of stocks to topple overnight. Now, we all call to mind in 29, precisely in October of 29, you remember that overnight, values changed. Millionaires were paupers in the morning. A wave of suicide swept the entire world. Values changed so suddenly. Trading centers, banks, all closed their doors. Now, on the other hand, we appreciate, I'm sure, that a sound security will bring to us, for instance, peace of mind, security in material things, confidence, and we will have lasting dividends, as it were, with a good, sound economy. Now, up until 1916, should we say, from 1874, we would like to suggest that maybe the spiritual Dow Jones Index would represent 1,000 points on the scale. And we have learned that recently the Dow Jones has reached its top of 1,000 points. So we would suggest that probably from 74 to 1916, the spiritual Dow Jones Index rated 1,000. In October, precisely in 1916, by the death of one man, we found that the spiritual index seemed to topple overnight. Changes in values, in Bible student stocks, and we were caught in a slump. The market tumbled. Now, this experience should provide for us some very valuable lessons in respect to our investments in the present time, 1973. The Peter Paul Report will give us some helpful guidelines in our personal investments in divine stock. Now, referring back again to the Dow Jones Report, it provides a very quick picture, an immediate picture of the values of stocks, their trading values. Now, in our investments in divine stock and eternal life, we find that some invest for immediate returns, a quick turnover, so to speak, as they say. Others invest in stocks and bonds for the purpose of lasting value, security in old age. So the question we wish to ask you then, as we invest in spiritual stocks, for what reason are you investing in spiritual stocks? That which represents to us something of value, something that is preparing us for our eternal security. Shares in the divine stock. Turning to the Peter Paul Report, some very helpful guidelines are suggested to us. Now, as people invest in stocks throughout the world, it is not something that you can just at face value look on the stock market page and say, well, I think I'll pick that stock out and I'll buy 100 shares in that. To invest in the stock market calls for hours and hours of investigation and study. Pamphlets you have to require to give you proper guidelines. Otherwise, you can lose your entire investment in a matter of a few minutes. Now, as we turn to Peter and Paul, as it were, we find that they provide us with some very, very helpful guidelines in our investment in the spiritual values. 2 Peter 1:12 to 15, we read, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance." Now remember that in the study and investing in the natural stock market, it requires a lot of information, a lot of study, daily observation of the stock and its trends. Now Peter is telling us in respect to our spiritual investments that you always have these things in remembrance. And that though you know them and though you be established in the present truth, it isn't a case of investing initially and forgetting about it. It is a case, again, of daily reminding ourselves. "Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Second time he mentions this. Constant reminder of the stocks that we are investing in. "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as I, our Lord Jesus Christ, had showed us. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things in remembrance." Three times the Apostle Peter, in this Peter Paul report, reminds us of the necessity of the daily study if we are to watch the trends. Now, if man show so much interest in material things, stocks and bonds, certain we as the Lord's people should spend equal amount of time, if not more, in our investment in spiritual things. It is a life and death matter with us. Just as in 1929 in October, suicide swept the nation and the lives of many very decent people were lost, so with us. 1 Corinthians 15:29-30, we are reminded of the seriousness of our investment in relationship to our stocks for eternal life. Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Our life is on the line in the investment that we have made, brethren, and therefore remember what Peter says, to study these things daily. And while there is a present dividend enjoyed by the Christian, or as Volume 6 reminds us, of the present inheritance, there is also the future inheritance, or the future dividends that we are initially and basically interested in. These are shaped up for us in Matthew 19:21. And there you recall, and Jesus said, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven." Dividends for eternal life is a result of our investment now. Jesus adds his little portion as a guideline for us in Matthew the 6th chapter 19-21 in part. If our investment is in heaven, then we read, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your stocks are," or as Jesus said, "where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So where are your stocks, brethren, is the question. We are making investments now that will pay their dividends in eternal life at the close of our life. But someone may make the point just here, "I don't have enough capital to start with. I've never played the stock markets," and that is the case of most of the Lord's people and most of people in general. They don't have enough capital to start with. And so one will say, "Well, I just don't have enough stock. As it were, I have no starting point to invest in the divine stock, in life eternal." Well, that's quite true, isn't it? And the Apostle Paul makes his point in Ephesians 2:1 to this end. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." We all recognized our poor state. And this was very forcibly portrayed by Jesus in parable in Luke 16:20. "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores." Yes, that depicted us, brethren. We were poor. We had no stocks that we could invest in, nothing of value. It was worthless. How are we going to invest then in the stocks of eternal life? Finally, though, because of the recognition of this very point, the message got through to us, and we became interested in eternal life stocks. And we learned there was a price to pay, though. Proverbs 23:23, we learned it was a case of buy the truth and sell it not. And that rang a bell to us. Our security, we learned, was in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ the righteous." And there, brethren, handed to us were shares put to our credit, our justification. Now we had something that we could work with and increase. And that is what justification was given to us for, brethren, to bring us into relationship with the Lord so that our life could be profitable, so that we could make investments for the future, for dividends of eternal life, if we are faithful unto death, as our text suggests. Now, our stocks are not watered. They are guaranteed to bear fruit. They are, should we say, gilt-edged stock, the best that you can buy. They are unto eternal life. And our investments and our returns will not fail if we go over and beyond our initial investment. Because justification, or this set of stocks, was given to us to make use of, not just to start us off, but to make further investments based upon this initial set of stocks of justification that was given to us. The Apostle Timothy in 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12 and 13, reminds us, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." Do you know of your investments? "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded." Are you persuaded in your investment that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day? "Hold fast that form of sound doctrine which thou hast heard of me, in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus." There are guidelines then if we are to retain that initial investment, to retain it in faith and in love, that these active ingredients will help to enlarge our initial investment in stocks for eternal life. How wonderful it all was when we learned about Romans 12 and 1. Oh yes, it was so reasonable. "I beseech you, I entreat you, because of what I have just said." And the Apostle Paul from chapter 1 through to chapter 11 and into chapter 12 climaxes, as it were, what he had told them of the sinfulness of man, the inability of man to stand on his own personal investment. "As we have nothing, we were poor. And now there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus." Romans 8 and 1. And then he says, "On the basis of this, I beseech you, I entreat you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," these mercies, "to hand to us this gilt-edged stock, our justification, and which we build upon, so that we might have a holy and acceptable sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service." And to those who have invested through the long years and have enjoyed the present dividends of return and fellowship with God, to the new ones and the young ones that are considering their initial investment in eternal life stock, there's no better way and time to start than, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." Yes, it is an all-out investment, though. 2 Corinthians 5:15 to 16. It is not an investing just a part. It is an all-out affair. Here the Apostle Paul reminds us that we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Henceforth we should not live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us. Beautiful words, reminding us of the seriousness of our investment. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we see that one died for all. Some people who deal in stocks and then buy and sell for tomorrow, brethren, they do this because of maybe fears that the stock market will drop in value, and thus they creates a feeling of insecurity. But the Lord says to us, then again, "Buy the truth, sell it not. Have no fears as the insecurity as to the present dividends that you will enjoy, but also the dividends of the future unto eternal life. Buy it, but do not sell it." Of course, many, we realize, have bought the truth and its blessings in divine stock and have lost out, have not increased them. Let us not sell our interest, brethren, or investments in these divine shares. And now, my fellow investors, yes, when stock are up and down, often the investors of companies will gather together a group of these investors, and they will consider the propriety of selling or enlarging their means to enlarge their further stock accumulation. And so I would like to think of you all today here as our fellow investors in divine stock. And so what kind of shares are we buying into? Bible student stocks, divine stocks, yes. Well, let's just take for a moment the stock market page. And I'm sure that many of you have done this. And if you've never done it because of personal investment, maybe you've done it because you have noticed the seriousness of the investors today, the worry and concern, the dollar and how viable it is. And you look down the stock market, and there are so many things to invest into. Yes, there are oils, there are minerals, there's the construction field, there's produce and fruit of various descriptions. And as we examine our manual today, the Word of God, we'll find indeed that many of these fall into this area. And we would just like to share these with you and ask yourselves, how many shares, as it were, do you have in the divine stock in these various departments that we will consider? Our investment and the amount of stocks, may I remind you, or shares that we will purchase will depend upon our attitude. And from the Peter Paul report, we read, are you able to drink of the cup which I am drinking of? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am being baptized with? And that is the question that is in very fine print as we accept our initial stocks. Are you willing? In bold print sometimes we find, none of self and all of thee. It's the other way. It's some of self, isn't it, and some of thee. But the only way is an all-out investment. None of self and all of thee. I noticed the price that one of these investors was willing to make many, many years ago. Philippians 3:7-13. But what things were gained to me, those I counted as loss for Christ. Are you ready? Am I ready to count all things as loss for Christ? Yea, doubtless I am ready. I count all things but loss for the excellency, for the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as but dung, as waste, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own stocks, those personal things that you may rest upon, the things which we say that people are endeavoring to lift themselves up by their own bootstrings, or the way that Jesus said in John, if any man come up by any other way, he is a thief and a robber. There is only one way. That righteousness that Paul says, which he found which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings be made conformable unto His death. In our purchasing of divine stocks, it will be a dying daily. And the more faithfully we die sacrificially, it will increase our investment and our stocks for eternal life. That is the ratio and relationship. If by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection from among the dead, not as though I have already attained, and either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that for which I am apprehended by Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Are we doing that sufficiently? Or is the world crowding out these investments? Are your stocks crumbling? Are you weighing material values of the present to that which is unseen that lies ahead? Oh, we are living in a time and an affluent society, brethren, when these things unconsciously are causing some to crumble up their investment in eternal life stocks. Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Now, while buying stocks, we just don't do it personally. You have to have a broker to do it. And we have a broker, a spiritual one. 1 John 2:1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Our Savior is the one through whom then we make our investment. He is our advocate. He is our broker. But at the same time, he reminds us that it is somewhat a do-it-yourself project. We are made responsible for the investment, but it is only acceptable through him, through Christ. Our broker gives the leads, so to speak. And this is very important when making investments on the stock, is to know someone who's in the know, and then your investments can increase. The ordinary person who has no knowledge of stocks doesn't get anywhere. But if you're in the know, your stocks will increase. And by the grace of God, every one of us here today are in the know because we have come through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he pleads our cause. Brother Russell has said, some brethren make the mistake to think that the Lord does it all. But really, it is a do-it-yourself project when you come right down to it. So now let us note what kind of stocks that we are interested in. In the field of minerals, let's consider minerals. There's gold, there's silver, there's copper, and there's rock. Then there's construction, there are the oils, and then there are the produce. In Proverbs 2:1-7, we won't read it, but we are reminded that if in our sincere effort, and it will be tested, if we are seeking for silver and we search for her as for hid treasures, then we will understand the fear, reverence of the Lord and the knowledge of God. And so our first investment then is in copper. As Bible students, we have come to appreciate, I'm sure, that this metal, while quite costly on our market today, becomes a very priceless thing in that which it pictures. And we always go to the tabernacle when we consider copper, and there we're reminded that the posts in which the posts stood in, they stood in copper sockets. And we recognize that this represents the standing of the Lord's people. Copper representing the justification through Christ that is given to us. Now, we just can't change that somewhere along the way after 30, 40, 50 years of service in the vineyard of the Lord and say, well, I'd like some other kind of metal. It would change the picture, wouldn't it? We need that investment in copper shares in the justification that's suggested here by copper in this mineral all the days of our life. And then over in the holy, we find that there are now, instead of 60 posts around outside the court, there are now 5 posts in the holy. And we see that at this stage, during the interim of the begettal and the development of the new creature of the Christian, that he still needs to stand in copper sockets. He will need them all the way until he gets into the most holy, because the metal changes there, doesn't it? So you see, our investment in copper, suggesting the righteousness of Christ in which we stand, we will need shares in that till our dying day. It is by grace are you saved, through faith. It is the gift of God. It is not of yourself. And so our interest and shares in copper are given to us by the favor of God. Now the serpent in the wilderness in John 3:14, we are reminded, also represent Jesus, who was made as offering for sin unto us. But it wasn't made of some other type of alloy or mineral. It was made of copper. Again, bringing to our understanding the necessity of our investment in copper. Recognizing Jesus, that he was a sin offering, an offering for sin. And by looking unto him, we are healed of the disease of the being bitten by the serpent of sin, as the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And as they looked to him, they were healed of that bite. And as we look to him, we too are morally healed of the sin and condemnation which we had in Father Adam, there is now therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And now Romans 5:1 says we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus we enjoy the peace of God. But only comes to those who have made their investment in this copper, in this mineral, and what is represented. Never sell our investment, brethren, in copper. There is no other name under heaven, we read, whereby we can be saved. And the Peter, Paul reminds us in 1 Peter, he tells us in the first chapter that we are not redeemed with gold and silver and precious stones or that which might represent some material value, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb slain. Oh, we can't come in any other way, can we? Except by initially investing in copper stocks. Jesus is our righteousness. And oh, how Jesus shines out. Songs of Solomon 5:10. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. There's none that equals him in his exploit. He, by the grace of God, tasted death for everyone. And when we come to appreciate his pre-human existence, he that brought the worlds into existence was the same one that left that glory and came down to here to die, not hang in the heavens and the mightiness and the grandeur of the heaven, but to stand, to be on that cross as a sin offering. We cry, hallelujah, what a Savior. Don't lose your investment in those copper stocks. But then we will someday exchange our shares in copper investment. The Revelator reminds us in Revelation 19:7-8 that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. We're going to exchange those stocks of copper, and we're going to be given linen stocks, which is the fine linen of the saints. It will be no longer necessary then to have these stocks, because the saints will be in the most holy. And there are no longer any copper sockets. They're now silver. Verity, truthfulness, righteous by the grace of God. But in the meantime, don't crumble up your stocks, your copper stocks. Then let's think of silver. 1 Corinthians 3:12, we are told, now if any man build upon this foundation, and silver is one of those things that we are used to build. And we appreciate and we believe and suggest that silver in the Word of God, in its symbolism, in our investment, represents the truths, divine truths that we invest in. How are your stocks in silver? The truth shall make you free. And every vestige of error, Brother Russell suggests, as it becomes apparent, must be cut away. True error never sanctifies, but truth does. What are your investments in one series of the shares? Number one, that God has a plan of the ages. Did it not thrill you in Ephesians 3:10-11 to recognize this great factor? What about series number two? The permission of evil, Ecclesiastes 1:13. What did it mean to you in your investment to realize that this sore travail hath God visited upon the children of men to be rightly exercised thereby? That was a priceless investment that God gave us, brethren. Then, think of our series three, restitution. To think that God was going to restore man to mental, moral, and physical perfection within the framework of his wonderful plan. Never lose the reality of that investment. Series number four, the resurrection. To know that all that are in their graves were going to have an opportunity. There are many that have crumbled up these stocks thus far and have discarded them. But don't do it, brethren. Hold to these series that come under the investment in silver. Then the call of the church. Our high priest. Beautiful. Christ's presence. Beautiful. What would we do without it? Silver, truth, the reality to know that he who promised he would come has come and has given every evidence of his thief-like presence about us. The harvest in which we are in, and to see that that sickle has been thrust in and that the work continues gloriously on since 1916, and we know of no time limit here, and that we in 1973 recognize that still it continues, because the great work of this age, if there is only one grain of wheat to be found anywhere on the face of this earth, this still is the preeminent work that must go on. And this is accomplished by our giving the truth out, casting your bread upon the waters. And we know not which shall prosper, this or that. That is not our responsibility. In this verity, in this truth, it is our privilege to be co-workers with God. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Now we know in part. 1 Corinthians 13:11-12. But then we shall know. There's still some silver investment that is for the future interest, when it will pay dividends, because we only see in part now, brethren. We only see in part. But we have ample to see, indeed, that will carry us into the kingdom and grant us stocks, dividends for eternal life. Now let's think of gold. Oh, you've all heard about gold in the Bible. You've all talked about it. And we think that gold is associated with divinity. And we think it suggests the seeking for glory, honor, and immortality. And we recognize again in the Holy and the Most Holy that there was so much gold that was used. Gold of the divine nature. The relationship of God in comparison to these illustrations and investments. Malachi 4, I will refine these sons of Levi as gold and as silver are refined. There will be the gold class, the more than overcomers, and there will be the silver class in this symbolism, representing the great company class, those that had lost some of their initial investment and had torn up some of those shares that they had in divine stock of gold for glory, honor, and immortality. But they will still retain some silver stock and have a spiritual place in his kingdom. Then there is the rock and the construction as you look down on your stock market page. And you and I are interested in rocks and construction. We read in the Bible symbol concerning the earth. We read concerning dry land, concerning islands, concerning mountains, hills, and the elements. And immediately as Bible students, we relate these representing to the various strata of society, of the cosmos in which we live. Mountains and the rocks of the hill representing the kingdoms and empires that have come and gone through the years. And those islands and the earth, a little more stable society. We're interested, brethren, in rocks and our investment in rocks and construction. But in Daniel 2:35 is the little rock that we're interested in. And the stone which smote the image became a great mountain, and it filled the whole earth. Are you interested in that little stone? In its construction? And what it represents? The kingdom and authority of Jesus? In which you hope and pray, and I do, that we might have some share in? And Isaiah 2, 1-4 tells us about the investment and the effectiveness of this little stone. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house, that's mountain, the kingdom of the Lord, shall be established in the top of the mountains. That's why we're interested, friends, in our spiritual stock market and shares in construction and rock, because it represents the kingdom of the Lord. We need to buy many shares, brethren, in this Bible teaching. In a world verging on despair and frustration, a time when Jesus reminds us in Luke 21:21-24, of a time of trouble in which it would be the nations would be trembling and they would be in perplexity, it's necessary for us to recognize at one and the same time how many shares do we have in that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. that shall not be moved. People are worried and concerned. And with the shocking scenes of Watergate, we know the tremendous results and effects of this investigation, not only in your own nation, but as the world looks upon the United States as a policy-making nation to other nations. And thus they are gradually losing their confidence, and every nation and people and leaders are doing their own thing, as it were. And finally we see, as that little stone, as I believe, has struck the image, is grinding it to powder. And we have seen since 1914, 59 years of the grinding of the authority of the one whose right it is. Who else? Who else had the right to grind the nations once that lease had expired? And you have seen factual evidence of the influence of the authority of the spiritual phase of the kingdom in the earth, grinding it to powder until it is blown away as the dust on a summer threshing floor. And we're getting near to the conclusion of that. Are you able to say, in the face of the crumbling scenes of earth, Psalm 46, 1-3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed. Our interest in construction, in rock. We will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters roar with the swelling thereof, and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her and right early in the morning. And thus we are seeing evidences, brethren, of the tearing down of the old order and the crumbling process, because the thief has entered in to the strong man's house and is beginning, as it were, to take a weight. As you often see when a building is being torn down, you see that big ball that is swung back and forth and crushes the walls, whether it be reinforcing or whatever. And thus we see in the whole time that the stone and the clay will not mix together. And we are seeing evidence as a thief is throwing his weight around, the only one that has the right to challenge the usurped authority of Satan. We are seeing the whole order crumbling away day by day, and the process is hastening continually. Have we invested then sufficient in our understanding in these shares of the coming kingdom in its full glory in amongst man? In Matthew 19:27-28, we see the appraisal of some, their reaction as they made their investment in that promised kingdom and their share in it. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then Peter says, and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What do we get out of our investment? Jesus never reproved them. He said, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, or in the Greek, in the world's new birthday, you shall sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Yes, in the world's new birthday, if we are faithful and we do not crumble up our shares and investment, friends, in these various phases, then we will have a share, dividends for eternal life in the world's new birthday. And that which Father Adam, the federal head of the human race, bequeathed to his children as being a dying estate. And Jesus has promised to make it over by that process of restitution of all things that were promised. And we will be instrumental, if faithful, in bringing about the world's new birthday. In Revelation 11:15-18, you recall that the authority and power has been taken over by the Lord Jesus, and because of this the nations are angry, because the time of exercising his authority on Mount Zion has come. I have set my king on the holy hill Zion. Revelation 21, 1 to 4 tells us the influence and effect in the future. And I beheld a new heavens and a new earth, for the former heavens and the former earth are passed away. Our symbolisms of earth again. New society, a new cosmos, a new arrangement amongst men. And you have a very direct personal interest in it from the point of view of interest in rock, because we are reminded by Paul in Ephesians 2, 19 to 22, and in 1 Peter 2 and 5, we are living stones in that temple. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Are you ready? Because the Revelation, the 19th chapter, says, for the wife had made herself ready. She did not destroy her shares in the prospects and hope of eternal life and association with Jesus. Then let's think of our investment in oils. We look down that stock page again, and there's a lot about oils today. You're running short in your natural resources down here. They're trying to get some from Canada. You're trying to get some from Alaska. You're trying to pipe it in and bring it in by boats and every way at all. We're interested in oil too, brethren. It's a special kind. We don't go down into the earth to get it. The oil that we are looking for comes from heaven. That's where our oil well is. In Psalm 133, 1 to 2, we are reminded of the blessed influence that it is like a precious ointment that comes down over the beard of the high priest. It is called in the Bible a special oil, a holy anointing oil. And just anybody in general could not manufacture it. It was on a penalty of death. Only those that have come into Christ are able to enjoy the soothing effect and all the other blessed results of the investment in the shares in oil. In Exodus 30, 23 and 24, we are reminded that it is composed of cinnamon, calamus, cassia, and of myrrh. And these in their right proportion brings about understanding, knowledge, deputyship, and wisdom, which comes through a possession of this oil. Ephesians 4, 16 reminds them the necessity to have a good supply of this oil, because it will be effective in making our association together run smoothly. For the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And it is the biological fact that our joints have these oil sacs in them. And it's necessary. And these picture the oiliness of the Holy Spirit in our midst as it emanates from each one of the joints as we associate together. How many shares do we have then in oil stocks? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And you remember James and John went down into the city to buy some bread for the little group one time. And because they wouldn't sell them any bread, you remember they came back? It seemed like their oil sacks had all drained. Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are of. And he rebuked them for the attitude that they had. And rather, we think of replacing that with that which each joint supplied. Let us invest thoroughly then. Five were wise, Matthew 25. Five were wise and five were foolish. Why? Because the wise took oil in their vessels. In fact, some of the translations suggest they took an extra can along with them, an extra supply of oil. So get all the oil you can, friends, and invest in eternal life stocks by buying into this oil supply. Isaiah 61, 1 to 3 tells us again of the effectiveness of our shares in oil. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for the spirit of mourning. And that's those that possess the Holy Spirit and a goodly number of shares that we can invest in it, thus will be effective as instruments of the Lord. Then, how about the produce? Oh, yes, you go down the stock market, and now we understand that this here very convention, where it used to cost you $4 for a carton of lettuce, now you pay $24. So today, when you eat your lettuce, really appreciate it, because the price has gone up on it sixfold, $4 to $24. Can you believe it? So what about our produce? Oh, we're interested in produce. John 15 and 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. 1 Corinthians 13, though I have the knowledge and speak with tongue of men and angels and have the gift of prophecy and have all faith, and I have not this produce, this fruit of the Spirit, that I have not love, I am as a tingling cymbal. Therefore, there must be fruitage. So buy all the shares you can. Because in Galatians, the 5th chapter, we are told about the type of fruit we are to invest in. Joy, peace, love, long-suffering, brotherly kindness, patience. Against such there is no law. A law is to restrict. Here Paul is saying, against such there is no restriction. You can buy all the shares that you possibly can in fruit bearing. It will be necessary then, if we are to inherit the kingdom, to have much, a lot of stocks in this. And as much as our time is gone, brethren, what shape are your stocks in? Matthew 19:29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. What an investment. Oh, and then when we cash in on our shares and our investment for eternal life, then we are going to issue a brand new series. And I pray that we all will be there. Because we read in Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And whosoever will may come and partake of the shares of life eternally. May partake of the waters of life eternal freely. Let us pray. Let us increase our investment in divine stock. May your spiritual Dow Jones index be as high as it possibly can by the grace of God. Pray for us.
Thank you, Brother Charles. We're going to be rich yet, brethren, if we just follow the good advice that Brother Chambers gave us. Make us all rich. You know, a spiritual stock market investors, they've got to eat, too. So we have everything prepared after we close this service. The brethren of the kitchen there said, we're all ready, Brother Adam. And I said, what have you got? And I remember when I was going to high school, I asked a young Belgium lad what he liked best. And he says, potatum visicisum. And that means potatoes with sausage. But you have all the trimmings with it, too. There was a lot of love sent from Vancouver, and there was quite a bit of it that was given to me personally to convey to you, and one was by Brother Joe Homiak. Now he says, now remember me not only to the English but to the Polish brethren. I'm sure that the Polish brethren would know who I mean. And then the Canals, the Kirkhams, the Smiths, Sister Moore from Salem, Blackwell's, Brother Rushton, the Boltons, Jerry Leslie, Brother Stark, Brother Jarman, the Ostranders. There was a young lad that I had roomed with, and his no relation to Brother Charles Chambers, but his name was Brother Paul Chambers, a very fine young man. And we enjoyed some very rich fellowship together with Brother Stark and he. Tomorrow at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon, there's going to be a question and answer session. The questions are to be put in the box as soon as you can. It is located in the lobby, and they must be in no later than this evening. Questions received first will have the priority. The trail to the dining room, it's a beautiful dining room, beautiful decor, is you take the corridor going north. I think there's only one anyway corridor. It's to my right. And then there's another corridor to the right again. And you'll see a beautiful building with lovely blue drapes. And by that time, most of them, you'll be following the leader anyway. We'll close with hymn number 208. And we're going to have, let's see now, an intermission until 2:30. From 12:30 to 2:30, they'll give us exactly 2 hours. And don't forget the Bible classes for our young folk this afternoon. They have a wonderful program scheduled for them tomorrow, too. But at 2:30 to 3:30, both the age 4 through 7 group will meet, and the age 8 through 11 will meet separately, though. And you can get programs for both the primary and the intermediate Bible class groups. So let's close now with hymn number 208. Charles just assured me that our stock will bear interest over lunch period, too.
Our dear loving Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Together we come into thy holy presence through Jesus, our advocate. We thank thee for thy precious word, Father, and the song of our heart is, as we pray to thee at this time, that if we may we walk another day. Bless us as we continue in thy presence. We thank thee for the temporal provisions, the labor of brethren behind the scene. May we use it also to thy praise, Father, furthering our interest in conversation and fellowship on the things of the Spirit as we continue by thy grace to invest in eternal life. Hear our prayers and forgive us because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The trouble. Our theme is rather the good news, winding up. He's talking about Jeremiah, too. That while this is mentioned incidentally, it's not to be our main theme. Rather, it's a message of comfort. You'll find out a reprint 36:16 and paragraph 13. Brethren, I feel that we should keep the truth in its purity. Let's keep it in its simplicity, on a basis in which we can all be enthusiastic and cooperate. And let's diligently go out to find those last members of the Bride of Christ. Because until that work is completed, there's no hope for the world.